Welcome. It is so good to see all of you. So glad you're here. To those of you online, welcome. So good to see you online. And I'm Pastor Bobby. So for those of you who may not know me or may not have seen me on some of the online services, I'm the ministry pastor. And so I work with everyone from children's ministry to our older adults, which is called Mosaic. And so we're going to start this new series called Pivotal Moments. Pivotal moments. There's these moments in our lives that can change direction, right? Or God can teach us a truth. And so they become very pivotal to us. And so you can see that we're going to do a series called Pivotal Moments, and we want to find our footing to move forward, because 2020 is coming to an end and 2021 is going to begin, right? And so what can we learn from God's word that will help us find footing, firm ground to move forward into 2021? And so we're going to look at some well-known Bible verses. We're going to look at a few well-known stories throughout this series, and Tim's going to do some and I'm going to do some. But our first one today comes from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. So we're going to be in the book of Genesis. You can turn there, and I'm going to read this verse to you. It says this, Genesis 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Would you pray with me real quick? Lord, we're about to dive into your word, and this is your word. These are not my words. And so, Father, use me to be your vessel this morning and share your truth. And, Father, for those who are listening online and here in person, Lord, that you would open their hearts and their ears and their minds to understand your truth so that we could walk out of here today with some firm footing to move forward into 2021. And everyone said, amen. This is a story about a man not named Brady, named Joseph. Okay? Joseph is the son of a man named Jacob. It's a long line of patriarchs in the book of Genesis. And this is Joseph's story. And let me say this, Joseph's story is bad. It is bad. One thing after another happens to this guy, and I've titled this sermon based on his life, and here's the title for the sermon today. It's bad, but it's all good, okay? It's bad, but it's all good. And I know you're wondering how those two words can be in the same sentence and work together, but they do. And so in Joseph, we have a story of a young man who grows to be a very old man. And there's a lot of stuff that happens in between. So Genesis 37, if you want to turn there, we're going to start at the beginning of Joseph's story. This is Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11. Here's what it says. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down. Verse 8, his brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him, what? All the more, because of his dream and what he had said. In verse 9, he had another dream. And he told this one to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter to himself. You have a 17-year-old kid. His name is Joseph. He has a family. He's got 10, 11 brothers, a mom and dad. And Joseph's story right in the beginning causes tension with his family. Okay, first off, he tattletales on his brothers, right? They're out tending sheep. Now, they're not doing something that they should be doing, okay? So it's probably a good thing that Joseph said something, but the brothers see it as tattling, okay? And the brothers hate Joseph now. And then he has these dreams, and in these dreams, the brothers bow down to him because he's going to be their ruler, and so they hate him more. And then he has this dream where mom and dad bow down to him, and the brothers, and they just all hate him more. Now look, I know this is never your family. I know you have the perfect family. I know you have the perfect family. Everyone online, I know you're perfect, okay? But just go with it with me for a second, okay? Let's pretend that maybe you have struggles. Let's pretend you don't sit around the fire and hold hands and sing songs all the time. Let's just pretend for a moment that there's some tension in your own family. And this is what's going on in the story of Joseph. Now look, there's 13 chapters to this story. I am not going to read all 13 chapters. I really encourage you to read Genesis 37 through 50 to get the whole story, but I'm going to give you the greatest hits now, okay? Because we got to get through all these chapters. But look, you've got to understand Joseph's story to understand Genesis 50, verse 20. Do you remember that verse? What you intended for harm, God intended for good. So the story starts with everyone hating Joseph, okay? Joseph is told by his father to go back out into the field and check on his brothers again when they're tending sheep, and the brothers come up with a plan. It's a really good plan. Their plan is to kill him. Yeah. Please don't come to the family reunion. You know, that's like, just stay away. And so as Joseph is coming toward them, they come up with this plan. But then there's one brother, the oldest brother. He's the good brother. He says, let's not kill Joseph. Let's just throw him in this well and leave him there. And the other brother's like, oh yeah, that's a better plan. So they throw Joseph in a well, and then they sit down and have lunch. Lunch. Peanut butter and jelly, ham and cheese, leftover mom spaghetti, I don't know. Another brother speaks up. He has a better idea. He's a little more compassionate. Do you know what he decides? Hey, there's a group of spice traders coming by. Why don't we sell Joseph to these spice traders and make a little money? And the other brothers go, yeah, that's a good idea. So now they sell Joseph to these spice traders. And he goes off from the well with these spice traders to Egypt. That's Joseph's story. How old is Joseph? He's 17. You got to pay attention to that because that'll make sense later on in the story. They get to Egypt and the spice traders want to make a little money off Joseph. So they sell him now as a slave to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar is a captain of the guard, okay? He works for the Egyptian pharaoh. He's a captain of the guard. He buys Joseph. Joseph is 17. He has just left his home. He's been stuck in a well. He had his robe taken from him. He went in a caravan with spice traders to Egypt, and now he's a slave in the house of a man named Potiphar. And guess what? The story gets worse. Potiphar's wife takes a liking to 17-year-old Joseph because he's been working out. He's probably got some chiseled abs. He's probably a good-looking 17-year-old guy. And so she takes a liking to him, and she tries to seduce him. And Joseph, bless his heart, is trying to follow God. And he says, I can never do something so disgusting. I can't do that. And so he runs away. But when he runs away, he leaves his coat, and she picks it up, and she says, look what Joseph tried to do. He tried to seduce me. Well, Potiphar doesn't like that. So now Joseph goes to an Egyptian jail. He went from a well to a caravan to a slave to now prison. This is the life of Joseph. And Joseph is how old? 17. Yes. And now it gets worse. He's in jail. And he's joined by two other people. One is a baker and one is a cupbearer. They both work for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he begins hanging out with these two guys, and these two guys have dreams, and Joseph interprets the dreams for them successfully. And the dreams are this, that one of them is going to live and one of them is going to die. Well, the baker dies and the cupbearer lives. And Joseph says to the cupbearer, he says, look, when you get out of jail, can you just remember me? Like, remember what I did for you? Let's flip to Genesis 40, okay? Joseph was 17 when this started. I don't know how old he is right now, but in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, the cupbearer, the person who was supposed to remember Joseph and what he did for him, after Joseph has been in an Egyptian jail for who knows how long, the cupbearer is supposed to help him out. And, this is what happens here. Genesis 40, 23. The cupbearer is supposed to help Joseph, but the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Joseph, his life just got worse. That word means that the cupbearer no longer cared about Joseph's story. As soon as Joseph helped the cupbearer and the cupbearer got out of prison, he no longer cared about Joseph's life. He completely forgot him. It's a picture of a flower wilting in the sun. You've done that, right? If you're not very good at gardening or you forgot to water your potted plant, it begins to die. And that is the word. And so now there's Joseph in this Egyptian jail, and he's wilting like a flower. Go to Genesis 41, verse 1. It says, when 2 full years had passed, 2 years, Joseph has been wilting and wasting away in an Egyptian jail. His story is so bad. Can I just pause there? Maybe you feel like that's your story sometimes, right? You're hoping things get better, but they just seem to be getting worse. Hoping things at work will get better, but they just seem to be getting worse. You're hoping things that in your own family get better, but they just seem to be getting worse. You hope that so-and-so gets better, but they just seem to be getting more sick, and it's getting worse. And this is the story of Joseph. He's only 17, maybe 18, 19 by this time, right? But things begin to change. Things begin to change because the Pharaoh himself now has a dream. And when he has a dream, the cupbearer remembers that Joseph interpreted the dream. And so they bring Joseph in to the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh then gives Joseph the dream. And Joseph interprets the dream successfully. Successfully. And guess what happens to Joseph when he interprets Pharaoh's dream successfully? His life begins to take a turn for the good. It says this in Genesis 41, verse 46. It says, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So at 30 years old, Joseph was released from jail to serve the Pharaoh. So do you remember how old Joseph was when the story started? 17. And how old is he now? 30. And if you can do the math, it's not that hard. He's now, no one's saying anything. I'll do it. 13. 13, I know, it's early. First time back together. Math is hard. I get it. He's 13. You see, we just read Joseph's life in like a matter of minutes. But he lived this for 13 years. 13 years. 13 years. From the time he was thrown into a well to the time that he got out of an Egyptian jail. 13 years. It's bad. He finally catches a break because after 13 years, he begins to serve the Pharaoh and he gets out of jail. And life's getting better. And Joseph actually has children. And if you're still in Genesis chapter 41, in verse 51, he named his firstborn Manasseh because God made me forget all my trouble in my father's household. He's forgotten his family. He's forgotten his past. He's done with it. And in verse 52, the second son he named Ephraim and said, it's because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And those are the words that Joseph uses to describe his 13 years. He says it was nothing but suffering. The land of my suffering. As he looks back on it, and he says, suffering. There's other ways that the Bible and other translations translate this word. And I want to read those to you. So some of the words are this: affliction, poverty, great pain, trouble, misery, and grief. For 13 years, this is what Joseph experienced. For 13 years in a well, for 13 years, for 13 years. But what you intended for harm, God intended for good, right? Kinda, I believe that at this moment, right? We can read these Bible verses and go, oh yes, praise the Lord. But would you suffer for 13 years? Would you go through what he went through for 13 years? Maybe you're going through something right now. Would you go through that for the next 13 years? Yet we read these verses and we go, yay, God, 13 years? Let me think about that. Let me think about that. If you're online and one of these words is resonating with you, would you just type it in the line? Maybe these words are too strong. Maybe you're just disappointed or frustrated. Maybe you're not feeling afflicted or in poverty, but maybe you're frustrated or disappointed. If you're here today, would you just say to somebody next to you, give them a word, like what kind of word is describing your 2020? What kind of words are describing these bad moments from your past? Go ahead, I'll give you a second. Joseph summed up his life by saying it was suffering, right? I'm going to sum up his life by saying this. It was bad. It was bad. And now that you've shared with somebody next to you or online, you might have typed something in. I want to give you 30 seconds with God. I want you to talk to God right now and tell him how your life has been. Tell him what is bad right now. Tell him what you're frustrated about. Tell him what's painful to you. Tell him what feels like great affliction. So go ahead and just talk to God right now. Be real with him. Amen. We're not even done Joseph's story. That's just the first 13 years that we read about. Because you know what happens next? There's a famine in the land. In Genesis, the end of Genesis 41, verses 53 through 57, it says this. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was famine in other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. So the only place that there's food is Egypt. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do what he tells you. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. Verse 57, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. Because Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh made him number two in all the land of Egypt. He made him number two in charge, and there was going to be 7 plentiful years. This is what we learned from Pharaoh's dream, and there are going to be 7 years of famine. So if Joseph was 30 when he entered the service of the Pharaoh, and now we've had 7 years of prosperity, he's now 37 years old, and there's a famine throughout the entire world. And guess who comes back into the story in chapter 42? His no good brothers and family. He's now 37 years old. Verse 42, or chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. When Jacob, that's Joseph's father, learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? They're just like twiddling their thumbs. They're probably sitting around talking about this famine. And Jacob's like, I hear there's food in Egypt. And the brother's like, oh, yeah, yeah, there's food in Egypt, Dad. Yeah, yeah. And they probably like pull out their smartphone and they start playing like Among Us or something like that, right? And Jacob's like, you morons, there's food in Egypt, right? So he says in verse 2, he continued, I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some so that we may live and not die. Go buy it. Leave our house and go buy food so that what? So that we may live and not die. When we go through these bad moments in life, don't we want to live? You don't want to experience the affliction or the pain or the suffering. You don't want to experience any of that. You want what Jacob just said here in Genesis 42, verse 2. When there's a famine in your life, you want to feast. You want to live. You want to get past the bad. You want to get past the struggle. And you want to live. But it feels like you don't know the answer or how to get there. And so Joseph says that they want to live and not die. And Jacob then sends the sons down to Egypt. And guess who they have to go see? Joseph. Joseph. Now, they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. And in chapter 42, I'm not going to read this, but you can read their interaction. And Joseph does two things in Genesis 42 when he sees his brothers for the first time. He has lived a life of suffering. He's now 37 years old. And when his brothers come back, he does two things in Genesis 42. First, he treats them harshly. He's really mean to them. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. My brother has probably punched me for a lot less. So I get it. But then Joseph does another thing in Genesis 42. He cries. He turns away from his brothers because he doesn't want them to see him. And he cries. He's now 37 years old. It has been 20 years since he's seen his family, and this roller coaster of emotion just comes back and it hits him, and he's frustrated and he's angry and he's crying and he's frustrated and he's crying and he's angry and he's crying and he has no idea what to do because he just relived all of those 13 years in one moment. My goodness, is that how you feel sometimes? You know, we go through struggles, and it's frustrating, and we get angry, and then we just flat out cry because we have no idea what to do. And we just have to fall on our knees and just be sad. And this is Joseph's life. I mean, I've got to ask God, like, what are you doing? It's easy to read these Bible stories because they're not us. Like, this is Joseph's story. It's like just watching a movie, like, oh, it's not real. Well, no, this is real. This was real for Joseph. And you have your own real bad moments that you go through too. And it's a roller coaster. And in those moments, I want to ask the question, why God? Why would you do this to me? Why would you do this to me? Why would you do this to me? If I'm Joseph, I'm asking that question. If I'm Joseph, I'm like, God, I got some questions for you, man. I got some questions. I wish the scriptures in Genesis led us into that moment where Joseph wrestles with God. I really wish the scriptures led us into that. Because I'm sure when his brothers left, Joseph went back to his room. And he probably asked God a lot of questions. And he probably asked God the same questions that you've asked God. And I would have liked to have seen those answers. And he probably went back to his room and he probably walked up to his dressing table or his bureau and he probably started pounding it with his fists and he was like, why God? Why God? You know why I wish that was in the scripture? Because I've done the same thing, haven't you? You ever pounded your fist sometimes? Because you don't know? I wish the scriptures let us in on Joseph's moment with God when he was in his room because he probably went to his bed and put the pillow over his face and just cried and sobbed until that pillow was wet with tears. You know why I wish that was in the Bible? Because that's what I've done. And that's probably what you've done at some point. But that's not in the scripture. I don't know why. But here's what is in the scripture. Joseph has an answer. We don't get to see Joseph wrestle with God. But what we get to see is the conclusion that Joseph comes to. And that conclusion comes 2 years later. 2 years later. Let's go to Genesis 45. From the time that Joseph first saw his brothers again, he was 37 years old. It had been 20 years. When we get to Genesis chapter 45, verse 6, it says this, "For 2 years now there has been a famine." for 2 years now. So if Joseph was 37 when the famine ended, he's now 39 years old. 22 years after being thrown into a well, Joseph has an answer from God. Did you catch that? 22 years later. Have you ever waited for an answer from God? How long would you wait? Not long, right? Instantaneous. We want God to be like Burger King. We want to have it our way, right away, don't we? We just want to pull up into God's drive-thru and we're like, God, I have this situation and I got this question. Can you give me a number 3? And make it a big. Make it a biggie. That's what we want to do. But Joseph had to wait 22 years for an answer from God. Why wouldn't God just tell Joseph when he threw him in the well in the first place, or when the brothers did? That would have been a good time, right? Joseph, I know you're in this dark, stinky well. I know there's rats running around by your feet. But look, I'm going to do some things, Joseph. Why didn't God tell Joseph then? I don't know. Maybe Joseph wasn't ready. Maybe he wasn't ready. And that's the hard part. Sometimes when we go through stuff in life, we're not ready for the answer. We need to scream first and cry first and pray a little harder first, don't we? And sometimes it takes 22 years to get that answer. But here's the answer in Genesis 45, verses 4 and 8. It's the same answer he gives in Genesis 50, 20. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Verse 6, for 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Look at a couple of these key phrases here. We're going to put them on the screen. There's a couple of things that Joseph says in this when he realizes 22 years later, when he realizes 22 years later what God was doing. Here's what he realizes. I was the one that you sold. He's talking to his brothers. You did this, at least you thought you did, but God sent me. Not you, but God. Twice he says, but God, in those verses. Twice he says that God did this to save lives. He wanted to do something amazing, something for you, something miraculous, something that you couldn't even begin to think of on your own. And God wanted to do that through me. And so he let you put me in a well. You might think that is a weird way for God to save the world. I mean, if he's God, he could have done it a different way, couldn't he? Absolutely. God can do what God wants to do. So why would God choose to put Joseph in a well, become a slave, go to an Egyptian jail, and stay away from his family for 20 years? Why would God do that? I have no answer for you. I don't. But I do know that God used Joseph to save his family, didn't he? Do you remember in Genesis 42, verse 2, when Jacob, Joseph's father, sent the kids down to Egypt? He said, go down there and get food so that we can what? Live and not die. Here's why I think God sent Joseph down to Egypt. Now, I don't understand it. I would have done it a different way, but I'm not God, so I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust the stories in the Bible that God is good. I'm going to trust that, but here's why God sent Joseph down there. You know why he did that? You know why he let Joseph suffer for 13 years? You know why he let Joseph not see his family for 20 years? You know why he let Joseph wait another 2 years to get an answer? You know why? So that God could save people. God wants to save people. God has a heart for people. And sometimes he saves them in ways that make us go, whoa, praise God, that was amazing. Sometimes he saves people by curing sickness like that, doesn't he? Sometimes he saves people by helping them get over addictions, just like that. And sometimes he sends Joseph away for 13 years to suffer in the land of Egypt, so that in 20 years, God could answer Jacob's prayer. And isn't that what God did? Let's just stop and think for a second here. Joseph went down to Egypt when he was 17. Then he was there for 13 years. Then there were 7 years that were good. And then there was a famine. And so 20 years after Joseph was in the well, Jacob started praying something. He started praying for God, to God for help, didn't he? And do you know that God already knew Jacob's prayer? Do you know that before, 20 years before Jacob probably prayed for God to save his family from the famine, do you know that 20 years before that moment, God was already working on a plan? And you think God's not good. And sometimes we wonder what God is doing and why God does those things. But what you don't know is that God is already working on your questions and prayers that you're going to have 20 years from now. He's already working on them. Did you know that? God is good. God is working on things that you haven't even imagined yet. But let's think about this too. Maybe you're going through something right now. And I mean this with the utmost respect for all of you and what you've been going through, because I probably haven't gone through it and I can't experience what you're experiencing. So I don't say this as if to tell you to get over whatever it is you're going through. But I say this to maybe help you realize that, is it possible that you're going through something right now because in 20 years, there's a hurting mother who's going to have a prayer and you're going to be the answer? Maybe you're going through something right now because in 20 years from now, there's going to be a teenager on the verge of a breakdown. And she's going to pray something. And you're going to be the answer. Maybe there's a father that just lost a job. And maybe you're right now going through your own job loss. Because 20 years from now, God is going to use your story to tell that father that there's hope in God and that God is good. You see what God's doing in the book of Genesis? Yes, God sent Joseph to Egypt and let him suffer for 13 years. I wouldn't have chosen that, but God did. Why? So that 20 years later, God, through Joseph, could save his family. You know, Joseph would have said that his life was bad, but I'm going to say that it was all good. And I think Joseph would say that too, because when you get to Genesis 50, verse 20, doesn't it all make sense now? We've just lived Joseph's life. And when we get to Genesis 50, verse 20, we look back on everything he went through. And when the brothers intended harm, God intended what? Good. But he had to put Joseph in a well to do that. He had to send Joseph to Egypt to do that, didn't he? But when you look back on the story, it all makes sense. Yeah, it was painful. Yeah, it was hurtful. Joseph said he suffered. But when he looks at the moment today, he looks at the moment when he saves his family, when God uses him to save his family, he says, it was bad, but it's all good. That's what he's saying at the end of the story. Let's do a little more math here, and we're going to finish up in a couple of minutes. Today is Math Sunday. But look, when you read scripture, you got to pay attention to numbers, pay attention to places. You know all the details that you skip? Let's all nod our heads because we're like, I don't want to read that. Read the details. They're important. How old was Joseph when he went into slavery? He was 17, right? How old was Joseph when Pharaoh put him in charge of all of Egypt? 30, so he suffered for how many years? Okay, but we're not done because there was 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine. So when the good started, how old was Joseph? 37. When he revealed to his brothers God's plan, he was how old? It was 2 years later. Genesis 50, verse 23. Turn there with me. We're going to bring this home. We're going to wrap this up. If you're watching online, I appreciate you sticking with us. I know you're there. I know you're there. Where are we at? Sorry. Genesis 50, verse 22. We know that Joseph was 39 when he found out what God's plan was, right? 39. That comes from Genesis 45. Genesis 50, verse 22. Joseph stayed in Egypt. This is the end of his life, along with all his father's family, and he lived 110 years. He lived 110 years. Let's keep reading. Verse 23, and Saul, the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Joseph was how old when he figured out why God let him go through what he go through? 39. He died when he was how old? 110. So if you do the math, that's 71 years, right? Why is that important? Here's why it's important. Do you know that for 71 years, Joseph told the story of how God was good, even though it seemed bad? You catching that? Do you know that for 71 years, he had the chance to tell people who were hurting and afflicted and in poverty and suffering? Do you know that for 71 years, Joseph had the opportunity to point people to who? To God and his goodness and his saving power. For 71 years, three generations of his children, he saw them. Do you realize this? That there was probably a day when Joseph's great, great, great grandson, when he was three, probably came waddling into Joseph's room. Hey, Grandpa, Grandpa. And he crawls up into Joseph's lap and he says, Grandpa, do you remember that story of when God was good? Could you tell me that story again, Grandpa? For 71 years, even though it was bad, he got to talk about the goodness of God, didn't he? His life was bad, but it's all good. Let me give you some firm footing. First thing is this: remember that the Lord is with you as he was with Joseph. If you read through the story in Genesis 39, you're going to see that phrase, the Lord was with him, twice in there. But remember that the Lord is with you as he was with Joseph. In your tough moments, in your bad moments, in your suffering, even if it's long, God's with you. Second thing is this: I would challenge us to allow God to use our situations to help someone with their situation. And maybe you're not there yet. That's okay. I'm not saying today you got to run out and celebrate the bad things that are happening in your life and tell everyone about it. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But what I'm saying this morning is that would you be open to maybe that God wants to use your story no matter how bad it is? Because it might help somebody else see how good God is. And then trust God that in the bad, the good can come. I think that's what we learned from Joseph. I think those are three things that are solid foundations for us to move away from 2020 and into 2021. Now, let me say this. It doesn't always come that fast, does it? If we're trusting God in the bad for the good and the good's going to come, it doesn't always come right away. Look at this phrase up on the screen. Maybe this will illustrate it for you. It's bad, but it's all good. That's the title, right? And sometimes it's bad, and the good comes like that. But then maybe your life is more like this next one. And you'll notice there's a couple of dots in between. It's bad, pause, 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 but it's all good. Maybe it's a couple of weeks. But then maybe that's not your life. Maybe your life is more like this. It's bad, pause, 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 wait a little more, but it's all good. You see, I believe that in the bad, God is going to do good, but sometimes it takes a little longer for some of us. But then some of you, maybe you feel like your life is this last one. It's just bad. It's just bad. And the good isn't in sight. But I guarantee this. With God, it's all good. And you might have to wait a long time. I don't wish that on you. I don't want that for you. But sometimes we have to wait, don't we? But in the meantime, the Lord is with us. In the meantime, maybe God could use your story. In the meantime, trust that God is good in the bad. I want to encourage you to trust that God can do the good. And I trust God because he gave his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for me. That's why I trust God. That's why I trust God. And if you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He was God's son, and he died on a cross to pay for all the bad in the world, for my bad, for my sins, so that I could experience the good that God has to offer. If you haven't done that this morning, if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus. And if you don't know what that means and you're ready to get out of, to move on and take a step forward, and you want to do that with Jesus, put it in the chats online, or if you're here, come talk to me afterwards. And if you're a believer and you've been walking with Jesus your whole life, it feels like, and there's bad going on, do the same thing. Remember what Christ did for us on the cross, right? That's the best place to start. There's other things I wanted to say this morning, other verses I wanted to share with you, but if you go on the hub later today or tomorrow, I put a testimony up of something bad that was happened in my life, and look, bad happens. There's bad things like getting a bad grade on a test, and then there's getting diagnosed with cancer. They're not really comparable, but they're both bad in some way, aren't they? Let's not play the game of my bad's worse than your bad. That's not what the point is this morning. The point is that when there's bad, God can do good, right? So I encourage you to go on the hub, read those other verses, check out that story, and I just want to pray right now. God, thank you. I was going to say thank you for being good, but Lord, I want to acknowledge on behalf of all those watching and in this room that it's really hard sometimes because there's bad. But God, we also know, as you've done in the life of Joseph, that you can bring good from the bad. So Father, whether we get that answer today, tomorrow, in a few weeks, God, we want to trust you that there's good. We want to trust you that you're with us. We want to trust you that you can use our story to point others to how good you are. God, thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.